Okay, thank you, Gail. Today we are looking at the third chapter of First Samuel. It has 21 verses, and the theme here is the Lord calls Samuel. The study for today highlights the call of Samuel by the Lord. It also touches on the Lord's pronouncement of judgment on Eli's house. Finally, it shows us how Samuel was growing spiritually as the Lord continues to reveal himself to him through his word. So let's start with the Lord calls Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And there was no open vision. As indicated in previous study, Samuel ministering before Eli is the same as him ministering before the Lord. This is because whatever we do for any of the Lord's elect, we have done it for the Lord. It implies that as we minister to one another, we are ministering to the Lord. Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 to 40. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick and in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Samuel being referred to as a child means that he was not mature in the things of the Lord. In today's jargon, we will say that Samuel was a baby in Christ. We may be ministering to the Lord and yet are babies. This is what it means to be babies in Christ. That is shown us in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. In verse 1, we can see that Samuel's immaturity in the Lord is because he had not been exposed so much to the word of the Lord, since the Lord's words were rare during Samuel's early stages of life. In other words, there was famine of the word of the Lord. Samuel's early walk with the Lord is the same as our early walk with Christ, in the sense that we also experience famine of the word of the Lord, since the church system of this world, or Babylon, with which we started our walk, is starved of the word of the Lord. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 to 13. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, and not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Apart from the word of the Lord being rare in Samuel's childhood days, there was also no open vision. According to Strong's dictionary, vision in this sense means revelation, and open here can mean to increase or grow. What this implies is that during our time in the churches of this world, there was no increase in revelation of Christ. In other words, what we knew about Christ when we entered Babylon had not increased. Actually, we became worse off due to the false doctrines which we imbibed. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 18 to 20. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allay through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that are clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. If we are to grow in grace, then our knowledge of Christ or his words must increase. Fortunately, in our time, knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom has increased tremendously as we get closer to the end of this age. This was prophesied by Daniel as follows. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. As indicated here in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, this knowledge, which will increase at the time of the end, does not pertain only to the word of the Lord. In the field of science and other areas, there have been major breakthroughs in knowledge, resulting in the use of artificial intelligence to solve many problems that we were grappling with for many centuries. All of this shows us that the end of this age is almost here with us. Indeed, the time is at hand. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. The eyes of Eli becoming dim represent the fading glory of the law of Moses, which makes it difficult for us to see the law of the spirit of life, which set us free from the law of sin and death when we were in Babylon. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8 says, for if the ministry of death, that is the law of Moses, carved in letters on stone, and came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of his glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 to 16. Since we have such hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. As shown in verse 3, the lamp of the Lord had not yet gone out in the temple of the Lord, as Samuel lay down to sleep. Samuel in this case represents the Lord's elect during our time in the church system of this world. The lamp of God signifies the word of the Lord. Psalm 119 verse 101. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, what verse 3 is suggesting is that even though we, as the Lord's elect, were spiritually becoming more bankrupt, in other words, we were being led We're laying down to sleep in our hearts and mind. That is the temple of God. The word of the Lord had not yet fully gone out of us. It is this word in our hearts and mind that makes us to answer to the Lord's call in our spiritually dead state. Job chapter 14, verse 15 says, "You will call and I will answer you. You will long for the work of your hands." 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 4 to 7. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou did call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. As I indicated earlier, Samuel was just a baby in Christ, if we are to call it that way in our modern terms. In verse 4, the Lord calling Samuel signifies the Lord coming to us with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness when we were in the church system of this world or Babylon. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. It says, "For the mystery of iniquity do already work. Only he who now works, who now let will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." The coming of Christ to us during our time in Babylon is usually not something spectacular, like what happened to Paul when he was going to Damascus to arrest the Lord's elect. Usually the Lord comes to us through his elect, who speak to us the truth of the Lord's word. However, just like Samuel, we mistake the voice of the Lord through his elect and think that it is the same voice of our pastors of the churches of this world. If we are given to realize the voice of the shepherd through his elect, that is when we are given to say that blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Matthew chapter 23, verse 39 says, "For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." As stated in verse 7, the reason we were not able to hear the voice of the Lord is because during our time in Babylon, we did not know the Lord yet, because we have not been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. We were part of the multitude that came to hear Jesus, but heard parables which we did not understand. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 and 11. "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speak thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Most of us experienced the call of the Lord several times before we began to pay attention to him. For example, Abraham, our father in faith, had to be called twice before he responded to the Lord's call. The Lord appeared to Abraham in Mesopotamia and also in Haran before Abraham moved to the promised land. Calling Abraham twice signifies that the Lord always leaves a witness of his relentless pursuit of his elect. As his elect, nothing shall separate us from the love of the Lord. Acts chapter 7 verse 1 to 4 says, "Then said the high priest, Are these things so? And he said, Men, brethren," this is talking about Stephen, "men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto Abraham, our father Abraham, when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. That's just to establish the fact that the Lord came to Abraham twice before he moved into Canaan. Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I quoted this verse to show us that nothing, when God calls us, he will find a way for us to hear and respond. So it also means that what the work that he has started in us, he will see to its completion in that day. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou did call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant hears. The calling of Samuel three times by the Lord. And Samuel still thinking that it was Eli calling is to show us that Samuel had not gone through the process of becoming spiritually mature through the Lord's judgment, as the significance of the number three. It means Samuel was still a baby in Christ. That was our situation when we were in the church system of this world before the Lord came to us to begin the process of our exit from Babylon. Revelation chapter 14, verse 4 and 5 says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. The fact that Eli, who represents the fading glory of the law of Moses, was able to instruct Samuel about how to engage the Lord in a conversation means that the law of Moses was needful at a certain point in our walk with Christ when we were in the church system of this world. Paul puts it this way, Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 to 25. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. It is through the law that we come to know that of our own, we can do nothing. It is this knowledge which serves as the basis of our relationship with Christ as we begin to walk by faith in him and his word. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. In verse 4, Samuel finally answered the Lord's call. It was at the fourth call by the Lord that Samuel was able to respond appropriately. The number four means the whole of the matter under discussion. Thereby, Samuel responding to the Lord's fourth call implies that as his elect, the Lord will use the whole of his communication as now to get our attention at the right time. John chapter 10, verse 27. My shepherd, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is what the Lord is doing in this age. He is standing at our door and knocking, and it's only the Lord's elect that are hearing him, just like Samuel, and not Eli, who also represents the leaders of the church system of this world. Therefore, the door is being opened to us to come and dine with the Lord. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. He will sup with him and will sup with him and he with me. Now we come to the judgment of the house of Eli. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that hears it shall tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. It is only the Lord's elect who are aware that the church system of this world or Babylon shall be destroyed in the fullness of time. What the Lord will do, which will tingle the ears of the people of this world, is the destruction of Babylon. Babylon within each of us must be destroyed first before we can be set free to worship the Lord in truth and in spirit. In verses 11 and 12, the Lord was telling Samuel what he was going to do regarding the church system of this world. Revelation chapter 16, 17 and 9, to 19. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And the great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. On the other hand, there is also the physical or outward destruction of the church system of this world or Babylon to the judgment of the Lord in the fullness of time. Revelation chapter 18, verse 5 to 11 says, for his sins has reached the heaven, and God has remembered her iniquity. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For he says in her heart, I sit a queen, and I'm no widow, and shall not see sorrow. Therefore shall her plague come in one day, death and mourning and famine. She shall be utterly burnt with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her, lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no one buys her merchandise any more. Now we come to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 14. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. According to Brown Driver Briggs Dictionary, the word forever in verse 14 means as far as, until, or up to, etc. Therefore, it means that the iniquity of Eli's house, which represents the church system of this world or Babylon, will not be cleansed by the sacrificial blood of Christ in this age. 1 Samuel chapter 15 to 18. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he has said unto thee." And Samuel told him everything, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems him good." Samuel fearing to tell Eli the vision is to remind us that our communication with the Lord should not be proclaimed at the housetops. It is private. Unlike Samuel, who represents the Lord's elect, our brothers and sisters in the church system, especially their leaders, will always talk about how the Lord is always communicating with them. Many times you will hear them saying, "The Lord told me," when actually the Lord has not said anything. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 27 to 28. Her princes in her midst are like wolves, tearing the prey, shedding blood, destroying lives to get dishonest gain. How appropriate are these words today? Verse 28, "And her prophets have smeared whitewash for them, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord, when the Lord has not spoken." Jeremiah 23, 16 and 17. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you." When the Lord wants us to share what he has shown to us by way of vision, dreams, etc., he will create a circumstance which will make us share what he has given, shown us, just like the case of Samuel. Eli's response did not show any remorse. After Samuel told him everything about the evil the Lord will bring to the house, will bring to his house. Compare this with the behavior of the people of Nineveh. When they realized that the Lord would destroy them in 40 days, they put on sackcloth and repented of their evil ways. The Lord, therefore, did not destroy them. As indicated earlier, Eli's house would not be given the opportunity to repent and be cleansed by the blood of Christ. This means that the church system will not repent in this age, and therefore will not be cleansed in this age by the blood of Christ. Jonah chapter 3, verse 4 to 10. It says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe before from him, and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he has said he will do unto them. And he did not. This is the opposite of what happened to Eli when he was told that God would destroy. He said that, he's God. What seems good to God is what God does. So nothing. Samuel continued to grow in the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not let none of his word fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan, even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Just like Samuel, the Lord is with us. And therefore, we must feed on the word of the Lord to grow. It is very instructive to note that the Lord did not let any of his words fall to the ground. This means that the Lord will surely fulfill every promise he has made to us. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. The Lord establishing Samuel as a prophet of the Lord in the eyes of the people of Israel in verse 20 is to let us know that the unbelief of the house of Eli or the church system of this world or Babylon has resulted in the Lord showing mercy to his elect in this age. This implies that in the fullness of time, through the mercy we have obtained, the whole of humanity shall also obtain mercy. Romans chapter 11, verse 30 to 32. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. As we are aware, Samuel later became a ruler to the people, to the lost people, as he was consulted in all key issues pertaining to Israel. For example, when the people of Israel wanted a king, it was to Samuel they referred the matter. This all is to show us that our obedience to the Lord is preparing us to rule over the kingdoms of this world at the end of this age, when the kingdoms of this world becomes the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 and 27. And he that overcomes and keeps my work unto the end, to him shall I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As a vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. It is important to note in verse 21 that the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Our eyes being open to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven is the same as the Lord revealing himself to us, just like the case of Samuel. It is therefore not through signs and wonders that we perform or the size of our followers that authenticate the fact that we know Christ. We cannot therefore thank the Lord enough for favoring us in this age to know him through his word. May his name be praised forever. Amen.